more than that, Master Morrow.
What do any of you know about being brutal?
Featuring Massachusetts metal and punk.
Those lyrics about hell, demons, and doom. What if I told you it's all real?
WMFO Medford.
Up the prime time, bitch!
Good morning, welcome back to Brutal Brunch here on WMFO Medford 91.5. I'm streaming live on WMFO.org. We are back after quite a long layoff.
Yikes.
Our second show of the year, I think. But
yeah, basically.
We're back here for every other Sunday, 8 to 9 a.m. with a nice hour of brutal tunes and brutal news.
It's good to be back.
And we're back with in a big way because we have a new Hall of Fame inductee today.
Yep.
So we'll be getting to that. We have metal history later. And yeah, a whole bunch of good stuff coming up.
Tried to do a song from the Brutal Brunch Hall of Fame last night at karaoke, and people were not loving it. Or maybe they were loving it. I think they were not loving it is my concept.
So if you want to call in, the numbers are 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. And we have some brand new local music. So we're going to start off with some thrash from Matt.
Thank you.
Brand new Black Mask. I'm going to play the title track of the new album, Warlust. Here on Brutal Brunch, WMFO.
Yeah. As humans, we ask ourselves all kinds of questions. But what if we were forced to ask ourselves a question every day that affected the outcome of the most basic things, the most important things in our lives? The question is, what is your sexual orientation or gender identity? And the answer is the difference between keeping your job or getting fired. The answer is the difference between staying in your home or getting evicted. The answer is the difference between receiving medical treatment or not. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against people based on their answer to this question. LGBT Americans have the right to say, "I do," but they don't have the same basic rights as everyone else. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
That is a massive new favorite band, Astronoid. That was a new color off their self-titled album, which just released at the beginning of February. And that was a new color by Astronoid. And before that, kicking off the show with some brand new Black Mass. That was Warlust, the title track off their brand new album that just dropped yesterday. And now I believe it is time for some of this.
This Week in Metal History.
This Week in Metal History. Like Matt said, we've been off the air for quite a while, so I just kind of...
It's going to be like 3 months of history. We're just going to like...
We have about 2.5 hours of metal history now.
Just going to speak for the next...
I appreciate that song because I'm both a little banged up this morning, but it's okay. We'll be all right. I'm getting old. I can't have an adult beverage and go to sleep anymore. That's just not how I live. All right, metal history. Like I said, just kind of things that I thought were interesting. I wasn't going to really tie myself down to a time period. Here we go. February 8th, 19... So like I said earlier, I'm on the green aux cord. I have no idea what that means. Let's just see what happens. Anything? There it is. February 8th, 1993, Finnish death metal band Demi-Lich releases their album...
Gets an approval from me.
Point of order, as you know, Matt, Demi-Lich is a type of lich from the Dungeons & Dragons role-playing game. A lich is a magic user who, once he couldn't satisfy his need to continue to grow in the field of magic, he leaves his physical body, which deteriorates and often dies, leaving only a skull or perhaps a gauntlet, and he just kind of astral projects. That's a Demi-Lich. And if you wanted to hear Pig Squeal of the Year, may I recommend Demi-Lich from February 8th, 1993. Listen to how guttural this is for a band that's named at the Dungeons and Dragons. Hang on. This is Chamber of the Whispering Eyes. And then we'll move on.
Come on. I actually like this. It's a good entry to your metal history.
It's a good there's a couple good albums on this week's metal history, and listen to that. That's Cookie Monster right there. All right, because it's mandatory, German power metal Running Wild with The Rivalry from February 9th, 98. The third in their trio of albums, which discuss the battle between good and evil, a very underserved topic. Incredible. Incredible, the disrespect. Come on. Huh?
It's
do you see the dragon?
It's music.
Do you see the mystery?
Yes.
Ah, it's so good. Running Wild. There you go. February 10th, 1978, Judas Priest released the album Stained Class.
The only Judas Priest I allow is him singing in court.
Him singing in court, because he's incredible, and he's just singing through a court microphone, and you're like, damn, you're the greatest singer of all time. This is a great song. This is Beyond the Realms of Death. This is like a song, like, if you were driving in your Trans Am, Matt, like, you had a rough breakup or something, you just get in your you put your leathers on, get in your car, just drive away real slow. I'm going to bring this back, because that's the kind of level of sound I can listen to this morning. February 10th, 87. This happens. You might know this from the intro to our show. That's right, folks. It's back. Dream Warriors,
yes,
by Dokken.
Is that?
This is, I always want to say Nancy, but it's not Nancy. I don't know. Whoever the main lady was from Dream Warriors. Just say Dream Warriors.
Is Alice?
Alice, the psychic girl, and then she goes to the, not insane asylum, but like school for gifted children, basically.
No, what did I say? It's Heather Langenkamp, because yeah, she
Heather
comes
Langenkamp.
Back. I thought you were talking about passes the torch to.
No. Heather Langenkamp. All right, speaking of things that are good, Mon Amarth, February 10th, also 98. One Cent from the Golden Hall. I saw Raymond Rowe and Sarah Logan on Instagram, and they're like the most precious couple that I have actually no relation to whatsoever. But I'm always pleased to see them like cosplaying in the woods and like.
Did you look at their wedding photos?
I did. I was looking. I felt like an idiot. I wanted to like show it to someone. I'm like, look, Look at these wrestlers getting married. Isn't that cute? They dress up like Vikings. Very happy for them. Mazel tov to Raymond Rowe and Sarah Logan.
She's in wait, is Elimination Chamber tonight? Or is that later?
Say that.
When's Elimination Chamber? Is that tonight?
Oh, I think it's tonight. Because wrestling is like every week.
Isn't she fighting for the championship?
Yeah, I think she's in the tag team, women's tag team thing. Monomarth slaps. All right. Now, beginning what I can only describe as the trio of incredible album work, let's start with February 12th, 1985.
We need to have a simulcast so we can like display this album.
Display.
Right, while
yeah, check us
it.
Out on Tout. Matt will be showing this on FaceTime. February 12th, 1985, Chastain, no relation to the female soccer player. Their debut album, Mystery of Illusion. And if I was to pick a winner from this trio, I think you're going to know it's Chastain. First of all, in terms of the album artwork, we're talking about a black knight. He's riding out of a cloud. There's a dragon behind him. And there's like a woman in the foreground, and her bodice is floating away. This is a Black Knight off this album. Huh? That's good, right?
It's something.
So Chastain is like a guy. This guy, David Chastain, who is like literally
like David Mustaine.
Like David.
Is this like his alter ego?
Yes, his alter ego, David Chastain. When he wants to do power metal, he does this. But he's literally been doing it since '85. This, like, no change, nothing. This straight through 30 plus years. Incredible. Great song. Speaking of great album artwork, here's Bayonne Bad Boys, Jersey death metal band, Blood Feast from February 13th, 87. This is the album Kill for Pleasure, which is hilarious.
Did they name themselves after the movie?
Blood Feast, possibly. 87, it's possible. Is it possible, timeline-wise? Yeah, probably, right?
Oh, certainly possible, yeah.
Well,
would have been a while.
This sounds exactly the way you would expect, and then it's just like very fast snare drum, and then huge Jersey grease balls yelling at each other. Not as good. Then we got MOD, which I described to you yesterday as Method of Destruction.
What was the other one?
Former Stormtroopers of Death vocalist, Billy Milano. This is a True Colors of that album. I showed you the video for this, I think, yesterday, where they like push a fake Slash off stage and they're like, that's not rock.
That's what you should do.
And they like run on and these like just gross looking dudes come and take over. Yeah, but I agree. I think you and I obviously disagree on many things, but I think our agreement in Guns N' Roses.
Trash.
Please stop. Just please stop. Like, it's like a couple songs. Like, please, no more.
This is on quality recording.
Oh, but yeah, it's bad.
This is a demo?
Is
this you?
Yeah, I got that from Billy Milano. He played it on his Nokia.
He just called in.
He emailed it to me. Yeah, but the important, because I was talking about the trio of great album artwork. So we had starting off with Chastain, where I described the Black Knight. Then you got Bayonne Bad Boys with Blood Feast, just like a bunch of skulls. Looks tight as hell. But the best was Method of Destruction, where it's a shark judge. A shark judge. That's all I can describe to you. A shark judge with like the old-time barrister's wig from like old-time England. Incredible. And let's close it out. Let's like cleanse the palate, Matt, if you will. With the scariest band of all time, Immolation. February 13th, 96, Immolation release, Here and After. And this is I Feel Nothing by Immolation. That's going to do it for this week in metal.
Nice. Nice down tune.
It's so
perfect.
Guys, thank you.
Thank you. And now for this week in metal, yet to come. Tonight at Sammy's Patio, you can see Cognitive Monotheist, The Machinist, My Missing Half, and Graveborn. Wednesday the 20th at Bright Music Hall, it's Marty Friedman, Immortal Guardian, and Firstborn. On next Friday, the 22nd at once, you can see Scalpel, Bitterwind, and Hailment, and Wolf Smith at O'Brien's Pub. It's Bedtime Magic, Makia, Easter Bloodhounds, and Totaled. On Saturday, the 23rd at once, it's the Winter Moto Expo, featuring Scissor Fight, the Humanoids, and the Von Traps. At 13th Floor Music Lounge, it's Metrophagy, Burning Beneath, Gartlock, and Hive Mind. And on Thursday, February 28th at Orion's Pub, it's Aneurysm, Lesser Glow, Twin Drugs, Hell Horse. Friday, March 1st. Yes, it is almost March. The Middle East, you can see Gozu with Kings Destroy, Forming the Void, and Test Meat. And finally, Saturday, March 2nd at the Palladium, it's All That Remains, along with Attila. Woof. Escape the Fate. Woof. Sleep Signals, On Your Deathbed, Hope Before the Fall, Unbounded, and Ari. As Within, So Without, and Attraction to Tragedy.
Hey, listen to what we say, clowns. All right, are you ready for Black Metal Song of the Week?
Yes.
Black Metal Song of the Week was, as usual, very difficult because going on Facebook pages and trying to figure out who's a Nazi and who's not a Nazi was really making me aggravated at this point.
Have you been scoping out the Metal Sucks stuff that comes out this week? Because they have a new person doing it, and she is all about the black metal. So, like in that bottom section, where, like, other stuff that comes out today, it's like 15 black metal albums you have no idea about. But I think they're all safe.
I need a new way to do it because I can't do it. It's aggravating. It's driving me nuts. So, with that being said,
the SJW's getting you down.
No, it's not even that. It's just like, come on. Can we just sing about the devil, folks? Can we all just get in line here and you know, we're all dead. That's the only kind of take I really want to hear. It's like, but like every time I have to go in someone's Facebook and I'm like, all right, not bad, not bad. And then there's like a 50-page comment like, this band is not associated with. I'm like, God damn, like just stop with the Nazi stuff, please stop. Anyway, regardless, who knows, folks. With all that being said, I'm probably gonna play this band, and then 5 minutes later, it's gonna be like a shocking display by Lucifer's Child. So, Greek. Folks, speaking of Rotting Christ.
That's right. Friday was Rotting Christ Day.
So we had Lucifer's Child with the song Viva Morte on the new album The Order, which is your black metal song of the week.
That was my missing half. That is a band that you can see tonight over at Sammy's Patio. They will be playing with Cognitive, Monotheist, Machinist, and Graveborn. Before that was our black metal song of the week. That was Lucifer's Child, Viva Morte. The Order. You can see them, right? Touring with Rotting Christ on a date soon near you, maybe?
In Greece.
That song by my missing half was Amityville. Of course, a reference to the... to the movie franchise that is comprised of 19 different films at this point, I believe.
Who's the one? Oh, God. The new one with the girl in it. The famous lady who's famous for being famous from Instagram. Give me the words. Bella Thorne.
Yes, Bella Thorne.
I did it. It's a reference to the Amityville movie with Bella Thorne in it.
Yes, that was...
Good job, Bella Thorne.
That was the soundtrack, that entire thing.
Yeah.
All right. We were talking that Elimination Chambers tonight, and Matt, you were saying that
Chamber
you have
Elimination
to watch approximately 57 hours.
I was telling Matt, like, I watched the Rumble. I tried to.
I left before the Men's Rumble started because I was like, I need to go to bed.
I have a job. I was like, I have a family. I can't watch this much wrestling. Chamber Elimination. Elimination Chamber. I like all the big gimmick stuff. That's the thing that I like about WWE is like you can't. I mean, I guess maybe with was it Khan? He's got the dough, throw around and build like absurd, like hire basically professional stagecraft guys to like build all these like wackadoo things. But that's really what I like about the big money promotions, right? Is the ability to have like these like stupid gimmick matches like that, Hell in a Cell, Elimination Chamber.
There's too many of them now.
Yeah, it's but like, I like them. I'm dumb. I just want to see dumb things.
Even like, it seems to me like Hell in a Cell is boring now. Like you build up to the one big spot and that's it.
Well, that's nothing. It doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way, but it is that way. You're right. But yeah, so next thing I want to have is just like Triple Cage. But yeah, women's tag match, women's tag champion will be crowned.
Yes, the inaugural.
Inaugural tag, women's tag. I don't know. I'm not going to watch it. I can't watch it.
It's too much. It's too much. Your boy AJ Styles is going to be fighting for the championship.
I hope AJ Styles gets thrown off the top of the cell.
Just never heard from again.
Yeah. Not even like shoot. Like just... not. God. That's what like when it's told to me or when I see how out of step I am with the actual WWE fans who like actually like AJ Styles and like think he's cool. Like let's leave aside like I'm not even talking about AJ Styles like actually very, very bad opinions. I'm just talking about look at him. Look at him in the ring. Look at his face. Listen to him in the mic. I hate that man. And he's over. Like, loved, beloved. Like, everyone loves to wear those, like, Monster Energy drink shirts or whatever he wears. And he's always dressed like half a biker, you know, like he's going to do a motocross. Sucks. I'm just talking about the character AJ Styles, not the person. Sucks. I don't understand why he's so beloved.
The hair is really like
the
what,
hair.
It's absurd.
The gloves. The side tattoo.
And the fact that he's never. Oh, and then one of the tattoos like has extra things on it now. It's like it's weird when
he
you look
like
at
it. He has like script AJ on his side.
But like the dates, because he added a date, but it's like there's more to it. It's strange.
It's fine. You can have your dates, your kid's birth, or whatever. That's nice. But
and then no, but I mean, like visually, if you look at it, because they were used to be all like all aligned, and now anyway, you go home and look at topless pictures of AJ Styles.
No
you know problem. What I'm talking about.
Hey, no worries.
And then it is pretty shocking how he has never improved on the microphone.
So bad.
Much like us.
No, we all get better every day.
Now let's do this.
Oh, this is making me feel not as sick.
Brunch, 91.5 WMFO.
Yes, it is time. It is time for.
Saying I haven't improved on the mic.
Whatever. We'll just move right along. All right, so we have our now 1, 2, 3, 4. This is our 6th entry we're going to do to the Hall of Fame.
Incredible.
Far more selective than Major League Baseball.
It's the most selective Hall of Fame.
It is the most selective. It is joining. The album we're about to induct will join Mayhem's Demisterius at Dom Satanas, Metallica's Saint Anger, Edema's Edema, Atreyu's Lead Sails Paper Anchor,
yep,
and Drowning Pool's Sinner.
Incredible.
One of those albums is not like the rest, but...
each of them deserving.
That is true. So let me take you back to a time when Bill Clinton was president. Simpler times.
Simpler times.
We were getting ready to move on from middle school to high school. And
Bill Clinton
the album,
was president and baggy jeans were in.
The album that none of us knew we needed, but that we did, was about to drop on March 23rd, 1999. Wisconsin Death Trip by the band Static X.
Ugh, the hair.
Led by Wayne Static. R.I.P. So there's a lot to get to with this band and album. And actually, they are doing a, what year is that? 20th anniversary tour.
Yeah.
Obviously, with no Wayne Static.
Nope.
But I believe it's being led by your boy, Dez Fafara.
That sounds great.
And he's a whole, there's a bunch of bands from that time, including Dope. We'll be touring with the surviving members of Static X, and a whole bunch of guests will be singing vocals on these tracks.
Sounds kind
of
fun.
You can't. It's gonna be awesome, but
didn't
you can't
Norbert
really
turn us down though.
Yeah, Norbert's all questionable about it because he can't see Static X without Wayne. He just can't do it.
He lit a candle in his Wayne Static.
So yeah, actually, she mentioned that just about 5 years ago now. Wayne Static, the founder of Static X, passed away. He passed away on November 1st, 2014. Due to a, he overdosed on many, many drugs. Followed shortly by his fiance or by his wife, Tara Way, which led to a whole bunch of brouhaha about people yelling and blaming each other for each other's death.
Nope.
But anyway, before all that, in 1999, we had Static X, and they were, it's pretty great because their drummer and Wayne were introduced to each other by Billy Corgan. So we have Billy Corgan, the Smashing Pumpkins, to thank. For bringing this beauty.
The closest he'll ever get to the Brutal Brunch Hall of
Fame. Yes, pretty much. So anyway, the album had several singles. It's probably the peak of Static X's career,
sure.
At least commercially. The album itself peaked at number one on the Top Heat Seekers chart. It was number 107 on the Billboard 200. As I said, released several singles, including Push It, Blood for Days, and I'm a Stupid. Push It reached number 20 on mainstream rock tracks, number 36 on alternative songs, Blood for Days hit number 36 on mainstream rock tracks, and I'm a Stupid peaked at number 38. And my favorite part of this whole thing is that Push It then resurfaced on the charts at number 5 on the Hot Dance single sales of 2000. Because
Dance Remake. Was there a Dance Remix?
I don't even know. Was there?
I believe so.
And then Push It was also used in the intro for the 2000 video game Duke Nukem Land of the Babes, which...
did you play Land of the Babes?
No, I was going to say, I was like, did you...
Shake it, baby.
Were you playing that back in your freshman high school days?
I played Duke 3D. I don't remember Duke Nukem Land of the Babes, though.
You're right. There was a JB's Death Trance mix of Push It, as well as a Mephisto Odyssey Crucified dub mix.
That's me.
And the song was released as downloadable content for Rock Band.
As were all songs.
Yes. Okay. So we're going to play three songs from the album for you. And because me, we're playing at least one deep cut, but I'm gonna start off with Push It because you can't do that. I can't talk about this album without playing Push It.
Push It. That's the only song playing in my head right now.
We'll play Sweat of the Bud, my one of my favorite deep cuts, which features a sample from Planet of the Apes, and then the title track, Wisconsin Death Trip. And Matt, Wisconsin Death Trip, do you know where that name comes from?
Well, I do now because you've told me.
Yes.
But no, I did not. I kind of assumed it was about a serial killer in Wisconsin, and then you've just told me no, that it is incorrect.
It is a book came out in 1973, and it is a collection of 19th century photographs from Jackson County, Wisconsin.
I mean, the name of the book is Wisconsin.
Yes, it takes from the city of Black River Falls, and basically it's from news reports and people that... died due to crime, disease, mental illness, urban disease, all sorts of problems that were going on. And this book, Wayne claims it was out of print and they found it. And where's his quote? He says, it's a book title that we stole. It's been out of print for about 20 years. It's a historical book about life in the small town Wisconsin from 1890 to 1900. It's about everything that happened, but it focuses on people dying and how they died. And there are pictures of dead people as well as stuff about natural disasters and fires and stuff like that.
What was the name of the author's name?
Mike Leasy.
What a goth teen.
Trying to see. He also made a book, Murder City, The Bloody History of Chicago in the 20s.
All right.
What else?
Is he a crime author?
Several other books.
Is there a picture of him with like black nail polish on and like a really pulled up collar?
He was awarded a 2013 Guggenheim Fellowship for Photographic Studies.
Okay.
Let's see if we can...
folks, we're about to buy some books. Yep, there he is. Exactly the way I pictured him. Like a mad professor style character.
Well, I hope he's listening.
Silver Fox.
Because that album that he helped christen is about to be inducted into the Brutal Brunch Hall of Fame.
We're here to say Mike Leasy a thought. Mike Leasy's a pog.
Apparently a music journalist, Robert Thomas Christgau gave the album 1 star. So he's not in our Hall of Fame. He's not welcome.
See you later.
We would lock the door if you call it when we build our physical structure.
Yeah. Show yourself to the door, sir.
Exactly. All right. Enough of that. Let's get to the music. Here is Push It off of Wisconsin Death Chip from Static X. Entry number 6 onto the Brutal Brunch Hall of Fame. We'll be right back. And congratulations to Static X making it in to the Brutal Brunch Album Hall of Fame.
My jeans have grown three sizes wider. Thank you, Static X.
R.I.P. Wayne Static. He will have to accept the award posthumously. As well, the original singer from Dave Williams from Drowning Pool.
That's right. And Dead from Mayhem and Rodimus.
No, that's true. Mayhem. Yeah, yeah. our in memoriam section of the wing of the of our Hall of Fame is going to be quite large. All right, so that does it for this week of Brutal Brunch. We are back in our normal time slot with normal programming for the foreseeable future.
Good to be back on the air.
So, until then, stay brutal. You've been listening to WMFO, Medford 91.5 FM, streaming live on WMFO.org. And we're going to close things out with back how we used to back in the day.
Yeah.
When Matt first joined the program with some old school Transformers. So,
yay! Enjoy glam metal
and enjoy the weekend.
Enjoy the weekend.